Luke 14. Verse 27. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We spent a lot of time studying what the word bear meant. Cross is the word staros. The phonetic spelling is S-T-A-U-R-O-S. Originally, I wanted to name Trinity Foundation Staros, but the people that founded it with me, that sounded like it needed too much explanation. So.
Sounded New Age or something.
But the cross is an instrument of punishment. It began with the Chaldeans, and then the Phoenicians, and then it spread throughout the entire Roman Empire. There was no form of death that was more low or despised. It was really, remember the formula for it was bind him and hang him on the cross of shame. The cross was often used as purely an instrument of shame. The condemned were killed before they were nailed to the cross, and then the purpose of it was to shame them and their families. There are stories about one of the emperors, it probably was Caligula, but I can't remember for sure. One of the Roman legion, it wasn't a legion, but in one of the Roman legions, 6,000 of them had become believers through a miracle. And they refused to kill, because they said that would be against their religion. And so the commander instructed the others, and they killed those 6,000 and hung 6,000 on a cross. I may not have the numbers exactly right, but it was the most dominant form of shame that affected the most people after the cross. I mean, after the death of Christ. As you know, Peter requested to be killed with the cross upside down because he didn't want to. He thought it would be. He didn't deserve to be hung with just the plain cross, so it was upside down. And the idea of bearing the cross is there's no other word that you could use that I mean there's probably many other words, but this one means that you experience the fruit of the cross, which was your death. That's what it universally means. And I've said it, and I'll say it until I die, the predicate of Christianity is your death. And the mortification of that flesh, the death of the flesh, is that instrument that's necessary for sanctification. Sanctification can't happen as long as the mind is used. We've gone over this 1,000 times. You think that you're gonna understand I mean, I had to, I went through and read a bunch of. A bunch of passages from the various translations. And I didn't get mad this time, I just got sad. That the idea that the preaching of the cross has become preaching what Christ did instead of its effect on the church, the person, the people. And so it's looked on as a historical issue. And even these scripture here that seems that there's no escape, well, that's just for disciples. And it's just terribly sad.
Where did this idea enter the, could be different levels of disciple, like a disciple and then just a regular believer?
Apparently it's, there's different names for them, but I can't remember. And one, there's a name for that kind of thinking. And within the first decades of the church, in some places. And so it's just, but it has never in history been as dominant as it is now. That's why we're living in the greatest state of apostasy there is. Everybody's got an opinion, but there's no private interpretation of Scripture. That's clear. Now, it's up to you to decide whether or not the interpretation of Scripture that I've presented is correct. I've tested it in 65 ways from Sunday. I've tested it in every way I know how, because I didn't like it either. But there's no escape. You've got to know by now that your mind isn't your friend. But you keep using it. Why? The dance continues. You know, everybody that, I mean, even I remember all of the people that we took in talking about, you know, well, here's what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm going to do, and this, that, blah, 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 blah. And I said, isn't that what you did before? Yeah. Well, how'd that work out for you? Well, it didn't work out too well. Well, why are you doing it again? Well, it's just the right thing to do. And everybody's got a private, their idea of truth. Everybody's idea of truth. I'm a truth seeker. Well, you're trying to find the truth that keeps you alive. And it's just disgusting. It's just flesh smelling up, dead flesh smelling up the world. It's zombies personified. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. There'll be an email from Josanna later today, but we're going to have another potluck and meet in here at 4:00.
Okay.
Fundamentally, so Beth and Louie, that's what's easiest for them.
Yeah.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's start in verse 4, because it's the whole, we're going to go on later, we're going to study what the cross is, but it's important. Verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf, for for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance, in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Testimony is the word martyr, and what it's saying is the martyrdom of Christ was confirmed in you. In other words, your death was manifest. If it isn't, you're just going to sit around and blah, 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 blah. Try to get it with your mind. Use your mind every day and think you're doing, this is what I do. And faith goes out the window. List of things to do, and that becomes your agenda. That's a to-do. And therefore, what does that mean? It means that your to-do list has become your idolatry. In the first place, you never do what's on your to-do list anyway. But it's somehow a feeling of completion just by the act of thinking about it. So you get a good feeling and by thinking about it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The endless lists. Whether you write them down or not, it's a material you have in your head. And so you continue carrying the idols on your shoulders, just as they did in the old time. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Has the testimony of Christ, the martyrdom of Christ, been confirmed in you? So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming, or parousa, or the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does blameless mean? It means perfect. What does perfect mean? It means fully tested. The faith of Christ has been fully tested in you. Because you refuse to lean on your own arm of understanding. But as long as you think your own arm of understanding has merit, then you'll continue to lean on it. And you'll make the Holy Spirit of God your enemy. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there's no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. The only way you can be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment, is for you to have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is emptying to a point of a vacuum. Does anybody not see that, or does anybody not understand it? Do you think that there's something that you can do that will fix you? Some course of action that's going to make you accept yourself. If there is, then you got to go do it. If there isn't, what do you say? Well, I tried. Okay. I'll think about it. I'll try to be dead. That was when we first started the group. Everybody running around saying, "I'm crucified with Christ." You know, they kept trying to convince themselves they were dead. Well, who were they convincing? We're about to have the Feast of Tabernacles, the predicate for the eighth day, which is the marriage supper of the Lamb. The predicate is that you've comprehended and understood the book of Ecclesiastes. What is the message of Ecclesiastes? No matter what I think, no matter what I see, no matter what I hope to do, it's all empty and vain as a puff of smoke. If you don't believe that, you're in the wrong place. That's why we do this at the end of the year when all other people celebrate these kinds of things. You know, they celebrate the new year because it's going to be a good year because blah, 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 blah. We're looking east instead of west. It's going to get better tomorrow. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Cleo, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or instead of you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized some of you, but I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us which are saved, it is the power of God. Do you understand how incredibly important that is? The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Why is it? It's because it's foolish. It's stupid. It's idiotic. Anyway, go sit in the corner. I have to think. I can't abandon myself. What would happen to me? So what happens? You do the same things over and over and over and over, thinking, well, next time it's going to work out better. And to shut up your mind, you have to drink and take drugs or do something, because your mind is never going to stop. Fear comes, and dread, and depression, and something happens, and you think, God, I know how this is. This is how to fix this. And the same thing happens over and over and over and over again. Isaiah said it, you are wearied in the greatness of your way, but you sayeth not that there is no hope. For you found the life again of your own hand, and you were not grieved. It happens over and over and over and over. Oh, I got to read a new book, a new philosophy, a new idea. That'll fix me. I'll pretend like I know stuff. Preaching of the cross. And what is the preaching of the cross? Well, I preach the cross. I'm talking about Jesus on the cross. No, that's not preaching of the cross. That's preaching history.
Yeah.
The preaching of the cross is your acceptance of your death and the refusal to give any more importance to your mind, because you've seen over and over again its emptiness and futility. And if you have any integrity, look at the human race. But the preaching of the cross remains more foolish today than it ever has seemed foolish to anyone. Victoria Osteen gave a sermon at their church, and it was recorded. And she said, essentially, she said this. She said, and it was tautological, it was just a given, everybody knew it, but God wants us to be happy. And so when I'm happy, then God's happy. So we want to make God happy. So here's how you be happy. That's the same crap as done by, here's how you be rich. But it's so, and people soak it up. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved it is the power God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. You know what prudent is? Pete found out what prudent meant a long time ago. Prudent means, do you accept that 1 + 1 = 2? Sure. There's no faith.
Yeah, no faith.
But you keep wanting to know how to do more and more and more. Why? So that at all costs you avoid living by faith and faith alone. And I've told you so often how scary that is to live by faith alone. It might probably will cost you everything. That's why it says in a couple verses in Luke, he that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Material things are easy to forsake. But to forsake the things that you think make you you, can't do that. Well, that's the cross. That's the remedial cross. Back to Luke a minute. Whosoever doth not bear my cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And that's fine. I don't care if you want to be his disciple. That's between you and God. But what I care about is those that desire to be a disciple. They still are on the never-ending wheel, you know, like a hamster. There's no need for it.
Yeah,
well, if I keep trying, something good's going to happen. That's what hamsters keep saying. He's going round and round and round of the same ground, of the same ground, of the same ground, of the same wire, turning, turning, turning. Isn't that what your life is? You've been a hamster. Well, I may have been an interesting hamster. Anybody have any response? Tell you, big guy. I've got a friend.